Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
1 Samuel chapter number 17. Now, I know where everybody's mind is at that knows your Bible. You think that I'm fixing to preach on David killing Goliath. And we'll get there as an illustration at the end today. But I've got one little simple thought I want to give you out of a verse today. Look in verse number 4 of 1 Samuel chapter number 17. The Bible said this, "And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span." I was riding up the bike trail that day, and this verse came to my mind. And I thought, "Lord, why did you bring me to this verse?" And I just kept thinking about it in my mind. The good thing about a smartphone, we can get it out, and we can read the entire verse. And here's the phrase that kept coming to my mind: Goliath of Gath. Goliath of Gath. And I want to look at that for just a little bit this morning. Father, I love you. I pray, God, that your will and way would be done in our service today. God, you know the very need of it. God, if you just want me to talk this morning and never even raise my voice, then, Lord, that's what I want to do. I want to be obedient to you. I want to rightly divide the word of truth, God, and I want your people to get help through the preaching of your word. I pray that if there'd be anybody here lost today, God, that you would save them today, and God, we'll be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. You that knows the Bible knows that Goliath of Gath is the giant that David faces in 1 Samuel 17. And not just David, but all of the Israelite army faces that day in 1 Samuel 17. Not just that day, but days prior to that, they had been facing Goliath of Gath. Now, whenever we think about this, we think about Goliath being a giant in that day. And whenever we begin to think about giants, I think that we could all agree that each and every one of us sitting here this morning faces giants in our life. We have different things that we face in our life, and what may be a giant to you may be nothing to me, but what may be a giant to me is nothing to you. We all have different issues in our life that we face, and they become giants in our life. I thought about this. Some people ignore giants. Some people run away from giants, and then some people just learn to live right beside the giant. Whenever we think about Goliath of Gath, you know what was happening? The children of Israel had just learned to live beside this giant in their life. Even though it kept sticking its head up every day, even though it kept threatening them every day, even though it kept causing trouble, every day, Brother John, they just learned to live right beside this giant. And you know what ultimately was going to happen? That giant was going to kill them ultimately if somebody didn't do something about it. Every giant in your life, the longer you allow it to live, the more of a chance it has in destroying you and your life. So I want to ask you this question this morning. What are you allowing to live that needs to die? What are you allowing to live in your life? What is that giant that's in your life right now? Boy, we could talk about bitterness. I got four or five on that, and one that's right. We could talk about bitterness. We could talk about anger. We could talk about unforgiveness. We could talk about temptation. We could go on and on and on about giants that we're allowing to live in our life. So I began to think, Lord, why did you bring me to Goliath? And really, more than Goliath, this phrase kept sticking out to me, of Gath. Now, can I just say something to you this morning? I believe that that's in there for a reason. I believe that every word in my King James Bible is there for a reason. And can I just say this? I've not said it in a while, so let me just go ahead and reaffirm so everybody's still on the same page. I still believe the King James Bible is the inspired Word of God. I don't study from anything else. I don't read from anything else. I don't use anything else. Thank God from my King James Bible. Amen goes right there. And I believe of Gath is there for a reason. I don't believe that it's an accident. I don't believe that it's a misprint. I believe God put it there. Why did God put that there? Here's the reason I believe God put that there, and I'm going to show it to you from the Bible. It's not opinion, it's the Scriptures. I'm going to show it to you from the Bible this morning. He put that there to tie this story to another time in the Bible. I want you to take your Bible and go with me this morning to Joshua chapter number 11. Normally I would preach something like this morning on Wednesday night, turning different places in our Bible, but I want you to see these things with me this morning. Joshua chapter number 11. Whenever we come to the book of Joshua, and I'm headed somewhere, stay with me. Whenever we come to the book of Joshua, we know that Moses has died off the scene. Moses was the great leader of Israel that brought them out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, led them through Marah and through the wilderness. And because Moses smote the rock twice, he was not allowed to go into Canaan's land. But we also note that God prepared somebody else to lead his people, and that was Joshua. And God tells Joshua to go in and to overtake Canaan's land and to wipe out the people in Canaan. Now, watch this with me. Joshua chapter number 11. The Bible said this in verse number 21. And at that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims from the mountains, from Hebron, from Debar, from Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. And there was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel, only in, watch your Bible, Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod there remained. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said that Joshua went in to overtake Canaan, and you that knows the Bible without doing a great in-depth Bible study knows that the Anakims was the one that produced giants in the land of Canaan. And here's what the Bible said. There was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel, only in Gaza, and where else? In Gath. In Gath. Well, what was they supposed to do that day? They were supposed to defeat the Anakims. They were supposed to wipe them out. But the Bible tells us directly in the book of Joshua that they did not kill all of them in Gath, the very place Goliath comes from. The Bible shows us that now, hundreds of years later, and I'm going to come back to this in just a minute, there's a giant walks out of Gath as he begins again to destroy the children of Israel. Now think about this. Here's what I want you to see. God has told them to do something, and they don't do it. And what happens? Here's what happens. Unfinished battles becomes future battles. Because it wasn't taken care of when God said to take care of it. Guess what happens? Years down the road, it comes back up in their life. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say to us this morning? Here's what I'm trying to say to us. When you allow something to live in your life that you know is not supposed to be there, it's going to do nothing but grow and become a greater problem in days to come. Joshua chapter number 13, verse number 1, the Bible says this. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to possess. So he tells Joshua, look, you're old, you're fixing to die off the scene, but there's still very much to do. Now, I'm not going to take the time to read it all verbatim, but go with me to Judges. Let's skip over to the book of Judges. It's the next book over. Judges chapter number 1. And when we get to Judges chapter number 1, I want you to see a few verses. The Bible said in verse number 21, and the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites. Verse 27, I'm not going to read all these verses verbatim. Verse 27 says this, neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants. Verse 29, neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites. Verse 30, neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants. Verse 31, neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants. Verse 33, neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants. One tribe after another. Now listen, one compromise after another, one unfinished battle after another. Matter of fact, the Bible says this, Judges chapter number 2, in verse number, watch this, Judges chapter 2, verse number 1. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought unto you brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of the land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Verse 3 says this, wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be as snares unto you. So you say, preacher, what is the meaning of all of this? Here's the meaning of all of this. They did not obey God. They allowed someone else to live. And now God says this in the book of Judges. They're going to end up becoming thorns in your side. They're going to end up becoming a snare unto you. You say, preacher, what's the meaning? It's this. What you are allowing to live today, that compromise that you're making today, that temptation that you're looking over today, that thing that you're allowing to live in your life today, if you don't do something about it, it's going to end up becoming a snare in your life. It's going to end up becoming a snare. I thought about this. That's exactly the way sin works. We think it's only a little bitterness. We think it's only a little pornography. It's only a little bad relationship. It's only a little pride. It's only one hidden habit. But those little things that we're allowing to live in our life that God has said get rid of, you remember Genesis chapter number 3. It's just a little fruit. It's just one bite. That's all it was. It was just one bite. But boy, what did that one bite do? It condemned the whole nation, the whole race, the whole world. Why? Because it was just one little thing. You ever thought about this? God had told them not to take of that tree. And for her to take of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, watch this, she had to be close enough to reach it. When Satan came by and tempted her, she had to be close enough to that to reach out and get it. Why was she ever that close to it to begin with? Why didn't she stay away from it? Boy, if she'd have been 3 acres over in a different part of the garden and the devil came by and tempted her, the temptation would have still been there, but it would have not been near as great. Why? Because of the location that she put herself in. The reason you give in to temptation so many times and so easily, it's because of the location you have yourself in. And when that temptation rises up and you allow that to live in your life and you do nothing about it, you do not, oh, it's just a little bit. Every giant that is spared today has the potential to become tomorrow's battle. Every giant that is spared today. Can I ask you this question? What is that giant in your life this morning? As I've been preaching this morning, no doubt something's went through your... What is that giant? Can I ask you another question? How long are you going to let it live? Well, Joshua, he ends up dying off the scene. As we read and we find in Judges that they allowed many of them to live. They didn't drive them completely out. We find that the angel of the Lord comes to them and says, hey, they're going to be a thorn in your side and they're going to become a snare to you. Now, from Joshua 11 to 1 Samuel 17, from everything that I can study, is around 350 years. A long time has passed by. But guess what happens? A thorn in their side and a snare to them comes back up. And here's what I want you to see. If you don't get anything else, I want you to see this morning. Primarily, this is our adults. We got a few teenagers in here and all the small kids are out. I want you to see this. Joshua and the people of his day did not utterly destroy the Anakims and the people of Gath. But they went on about their life and kept living their life. But generations to come ended up having to take care of the battle that they never finished. Now, Daddy, I want to ask you something. What is that giant that's in your life that you're letting live? And because you're letting it live, it's now starting to become a giant for your kids. You watch daddies and you watch mamas. Everybody still awake this morning? You watch daddies and you watch mamas and you watch their attitudes. You watch the way they treat the house of God. You watch the priority that they put on Bible reading, the priority that they put on prayer, the priority that they put on bitterness, the priority that they put on unforgiveness, the priority, I'm preaching good, the priority of those things that they allow to live in their life, and then you watch the generations come behind them. I hadn't been here long at all, and I went visiting. And I visited a house, and whenever I knocked on the door, this man came to the door, and I began to talk to him. And I told him, I said, I pastor just right down the road at Amazing Grace Baptist Church. He said, I'm not going to church. And I said, okay. I said, that's between you and the Lord. I said, but let me ask you about something else. If you're not going to church, I said, how's your relationship with Christ? Do you know him as your personal Savior? I'm not interested in him. And I said, all right then. And about that minute, a guy drove up and guy got out of his truck and walked up and began to talk to us. And I asked him the same question. He had the exact same answer. And he ended up looking and he said, this is my dad. He don't go to church. He's never been in church. I'm not going to church. I've never been in church. I'm not interested in God. I'm not interested in the Bible. And began to use several more words while he was talking to me. You know what happened? That daddy was holding on to unforgiveness. That daddy, I'm preaching good this morning. That daddy was holding on to bitterness. That daddy was holding on to hurt. And you know what ended up happening? Because he allowed that giant to live in his life, the next generation had to face that giant. And the next generation, you see, you may die off the scene and think, well, I never had to deal with it. I never had to kill that giant. Your kids will have to deal with it one day. The greatest battles of tomorrow are the results of the compromises we refuse to conquer today. We refuse to conquer it today. Now, I want you to go back to the text with me, and I want to show you something. I'm about done. Go back to 1 Samuel 17. David now has showed up on the scene. And I want to show you a verse or two. David showed up on the scene. And David says, hey, who's this uncircumcised Philistine? Why are y'all allowing this man to deny God? What's wrong? Who is this guy? I'll go fight him. He goes before Saul, and Saul was a coward, and he wouldn't go fight him. You know, Saul would have just took care of it. David wouldn't have had to. Can I say that again? And if Saul's men wouldn't take care of it, Saul should have went and took care of it. He was a coward laid back because the hand of God wasn't on him no more. And there's so much preaching can go right there, but I'm just going to hit it in passing. David goes up to him and he says, I'm going to go fight him. I'm going to go take care. I'm going to go kill Goliath. He's not causing this trouble. I'm going after him. And Saul says, well, you're but a youth. You can't do that, and you can't do that. Now watch what David does. David in verse number 34 of 1 Samuel chapter 17. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I called him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. You know what David does when that giant comes up in his life? David says, hey, wait a minute. This is not the first time I've ever faced a giant in my life. So let me look back at what God did the other times I faced a giant in my life. And you know what he said? There was a lion that came up against me one day. Really, if we want to talk about it and look at it, it's a greater giant than Goliath is. When we look at it from a physical viewpoint, he said there was a bear that came up against me one day and he was going to destroy the flock. And you know what I did? I said, Lord, I need some help right here. And God intervened on my behalf and I destroyed those giants that day. And this giant that's in front of me today is no match for God. What we must do when giants rises up in our life, we must go back in the memory bank and remember the times that God has delivered us before, when God has given us victory before, when God has given us peace before, and we must remember who He is and that we rely on Him. You can't overcome the giant by yourself. You can't kill the lion by yourself. You can't kill the bear by yourself. You can't kill Goliath by yourself. Hey, he's been haunting us for generations all the way back to Genesis 3. But greater is him that is in me than he that is in this world. That thing that you are allowing to live today, it does not have to be your defeat. It does not have to destroy you. It does not have to bring you down. If you'll turn it over to the Lord today and say, you may come to me as a giant and with a sword and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, we can overcome those things that we are allowing to live in our life. David goes on and he kills him, and David finishes the fight because he cuts his head off. David understood something that every person in this room needs to understand this morning. When it comes to fighting giants, here's what he understood. You can't beat sin by determination. You can't beat temptation with willpower. You can't beat addiction by promise. You can't beat lust by saying, I'm going to try harder. There has to come a time that you kill the giant and say, I'm going to do it with the Lord's help. I'm going to do it with the Lord's help. I thought about this. Miss Tina, about said Tanya out of habit. Miss Tina's coming to start playing softly. I started with this morning. Every one of us has giants. Every one of us. Pride. Can I say it again? I didn't get many amens, but we all struggle with it. Pride. Bitterness. Something that's killing our young men today, pornography. Matter of fact, I'm working on a message to deal with that I'm going to preach to our men separately. We're going to have a split session. I'm going to preach it to our men. But pornography, wrong friends, Wrong friend. Leslie and I, we went to Food Line last night and grabbed a few groceries. She said we was going to get milk, and whenever we went in, Brother Brian, she got a buggy. I said, how much milk we going to get? You never go, it's a laughing joke with our girls. You never go to the grocery store and get one thing with Miss Leslie. She could have went the day before and bought $9,000 worth of groceries. We're going to get more than one thing whenever we go. But I seen a group of people, and I said, hey, honey, I said, you see them people right over there? She said, yeah. She said, I see them. I said, you know old such and such? She said, yeah, I know old such and such. I said, that was the crowd old such and such used to run with. I said, you see what they're buying? See what they're loading in their coolers? She said, yeah. I said, that's the crowd. That's the ones that they used to run with. I said, but you know what? Tomorrow, they'll be at church. They'll be in Sunday school. They'll be serving the Lord. Let me tell you the reason why they decided to kill Goliath. They decided, wrong friends. My daddy's always said this, you are right now or you soon will be what your friends are. You are right. Boy, I'm preaching good. You are right. Let me see who you're running around with. That's who you're going to become. It's who you're going to become. I've said this for 20 years, and I'm going to say it again today. That's the reason a married person's best friend should never be a single person, because they live two completely separate lives. My best friend's not a single man. Are you with me? I'm preaching good. You say, well, they're godly. It's okay that they're godly, but they live a different life. Watch this, wrong friends. What about a secret relationship? I just wrote some things down. Alcohol, drugs, laziness, fear, depression, unforgiveness, a hidden sin. Don't pet it. Don't feed it. Don't make excuses for it. Don't coexist with it. Let me tell you what you need to do today. You need to kill it. You need to kill it. What are you letting live? This morning early, I'm right now done. This morning early, I got up and fed the dogs. And after I fed the dogs, we always go for a walk. And that's when I pray in the mornings. And I took them on a walk. And they always want to come to church. They love coming to church. They come to church more than anybody in here comes to church. And we went up through the cemetery, and we made our laps like we normally do. And I came through, and I stopped on the front porch and was looking out over the yard. And I thought, man, it sure looks good this year. Man, everything just, it's in tip-top shape, looks good and striped up. And here's what I thought about. Each morning, I walk through there. And if I start seeing something, I'll pull it up. And here's what I thought about. You know what? What if I walk by there in the morning and out in the middle of that front yard is one, Brother Doug, just one little leaf of kudzu. Somehow or another, it'll grow anywhere. Just one little sprout of kudzu out there. You know what will happen in just a couple of weeks? We'll not have any grass. The guys that mows the lawn will be mowing kudzu. We'll be putting a fence up around it, and the goats will have a move over to the front yard of the church. There'll be kudzu everywhere. Why? Because someone failed to get rid of one little bitty leaf that was in the yard. What's that little bitty leaf in your life that's going to take it over if you don't do something with it? It's one little bitty leaf. What are you allowing to live today? Well, if they would have took care of it in Joshua chapter 21, there's a really good chance we wouldn't read about it in 1 Samuel 17. Let me just back up and rephrase that. We wouldn't read about it in 1 Samuel 17. You may get by with it, but what about your kids? Are they going to have to fight battles that you refused to fight? Oh, it's just a preacher. It's just small. Preacher, nobody's ever going to know. He does. We may never know. But the Bible's going to prove itself true, and be sure your sin will find you out. What are we allowing to live?